You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Second down and five. Rui Ungulale going through the progression and throws it right to Curtis Robinson. Robinson all the way back for a 49ers touchdown.
I am so happy for C. Rob, Curtis Robinson. You know, guy, I am a firm believer that good things happen to good people.
The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni.
Listen to that guy driving the bus, man. Damn, Spadoni. Damn, you sound good.
And Joe Shasky from 6 to 10 on 95.7 The Game.
Guy Haberman, Tim Ryan on the call, KPIX Channel 5. Sam Lubman alongside me today, in for Joe Shasky. And we're talking Niners as preseason has now come to an end. Niners win 30-23 on Saturday at Levi's Stadium over the Los Angeles Chargers and all that, you know, for the reunion of Jim Harbaugh and Trey Lance. It was just meh. Although I'm looking at the attendance for that game. It says they got, this is what it says. I'm just looking on the ESPN website. Is there 71,000 people there?
No, it looked like a full house on TV.
71,000 for a preseason game three? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. As Draymond Green would say, and we asked the question heading into the break, a lot's been made about Jake Moody, and you heard the call right there. Curtis Robinson. I want to. Kyle Shanahan said he got a broken forearm. That's what they're fearing after the game. Oh God, the hits keep coming and they don't stop coming. Unfortunately, and that's a tough one for a guy that's been trying to come back from an ACL injury. Jacob Robinson.
A lot of Robinsons on this team.
No. But that would have been one. That would have been again brutal. Like the guy that's coming back from an ACL breaks his forearm. But his cornerback, Jacob Robinson, I'm sure of no relation, so I wanted to get that right. And we want to get the calls right, too, because I see Leroy in Oakland wants to join the conversation. I asked the question. I want to get Sam's answer to this. I'll give mine. The biggest question mark of this 49ers team coming out of preseason is what? Is it the kicker, Jake Moody, or is it something else? Is it a position? Is it a player? Is it a coach that you have a question mark on? Is it the special teams as a whole? Sam, I ask you this question right now. Preseason's over. We're less than 2 weeks from the start of the regular season, week one in Seattle. Biggest question mark facing the 49ers this season is?
Well, I guess, I mean, we spent the last 40 plus minutes making it very clear the kicker is up there, so I'm not going to start there. No, right now the big question mark I have, I mean, it's health for this team. I mean, how could it not? I mean, you have an untold number of injuries on this team right now.
As Jacob Robinson breaks his forearm, rookie.
Exactly. I don't know, like, between guys getting healthy or whatnot, like, again, last week, Matt Maiocco, I think, had a list of 26 guys who are some sort of injured. And so then you add Jacob Robinson there. Tatum Bethune didn't play. He had a sore back. Hopefully that's nothing serious. There's a lot of guys you did not see. Mykel Williams, you didn't see him in the preseason at all. That's you need him this year. As he's, you know, being the rookie edge rusher. You need bodies on the field, Spadoni. And it's, when I look at the Niners right now, it's I have a hard time trusting that they're all going to be healthy. You know, it's football. Guys get hurt and banged up, you know, throughout the year. They're going to miss time here and there. But when the injury list is this long, and you know what I mean, some of these injuries could be small, so this could be a non-starter here. That's why I have question marks. There's so many injuries. I don't know how serious some of them are. I don't know how long-lasting some of them are. We saw how much the season went off the rails last year when guys started getting hurt. We saw how much the 2020 season started going off the rails when guys started getting hurt. 2021, you had some injury issues, and that kind of tripped this team up a little bit. Right off the bat here this season, you got so many guys injured. You got DeMarcus Robinson missing the first three games of suspension. The health of this team really concerns me. And ideally, come week one, you'll see some guys back. Maybe Juwan Jennings' calf will have made enough money to where that'll be healthy. hopefully Dominic Pooney will be healthy. Hopefully Mykel Williams will be good and ready to go. Trent Williams has no excuse to not be ready to go since he's been balling out in practice and not playing in the preseason games. So, but that's one of those things. Like I'm going to be nervous every game probably the first 2-3 weeks watching these guys because it's going to be a tough slate the first three games here with the receiving core being down like it is. Health is a massive question mark.
The name of the game, and it's brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. And as I mentioned earlier, we are giving away two pairs of Giants tickets this morning. One in the 7 o'clock hour, one pair of them, and then again in the 8 o'clock hour as well. And Stephen, when you hear this sounder, be caller number 5 on the contest line to win. All right, biggest question mark for the 49ers. Preseason's over, less than 2 weeks now from the start of the regular season. And we go out now to Leroy in Oakland. Leroy, what's your biggest question mark for the 49ers?
It's us in the red zone, and I say us because I'm a big 49er fan, and I did tape the third preseason game. I had to go run some errands. I taped it. I came back and watched it because
you're
I
a diehard, Leroy. You're a diehard. You taped a preseason game. You're why I love football, Leroy.
I did. And my wife, Sunday morning, I'm watching it. She gets up. She says, "I love that sound of football." But I watched it because I wanted to see, you know, the guys who were on the cusp trying to make the team, and I really liked how the remaining guys who were trying to make the team, how they were competing, man. That was awesome to see. I didn't like all the flags. I mean, boy, the field was just littered with penalties. But what do you expect for, you know, a third game? I do want to say Moody, he doesn't worry me so much because I look at how the players respond to him, right? They really, really like him, it seems like. And they try to encourage him. And so hopefully that encouragement from his teammates, because he's got a big leg, right? But hopefully the encouragement from his teammates will get him to come around and start playing better. What I'm really worried about is the 49ers, us in the red zone. Us in the red zone, right? And I just want Kyle Shanahan to use the tight ends more. Man, I really love Luke Farrell, and I really love George Kittle, and I just think he doesn't get enough touches, especially in the red zone. And, hey, if we're scoring in the red zone, that takes some pressure off Moody because all you got to do is make the extra point. But it also takes some pressure off the running game. Use the tight ends in those little short little passes as an extension of the run game to take some pressure off of it until we get fully healthy. So hopefully we can be better in the red zone. But that's what I'm worried about, guys.
That's Leroy in Oakland. Thank you for the call, Leroy. 888-957-9570. Preseason is over, Niner fans. Biggest question mark for this 49ers team is what right now? Sam says health. Leroy in Oakland. He's talking about the red zone offense. You got to get touchdowns to win in this league, Sam. We can't be settling for field goals. So in that respect, if I see too much of Jake Moody and settling for field goals, yeah, I'm going to be upset about it. That's a great call, Leroy, because I'm looking at it right now. Last year, you just go full rankings, and we're going touchdowns only, red zone scoring percentage, and we're just doing touchdowns, not field goals, anything like that. Niners are right in the middle of the pack. They were 14th, and they were at 57%. If they're in the red zone, they got a touchdown. So a little more than half the time they get down there, get touchdowns. It's not good enough. Best is number one. That was Baltimore. It was almost 75% of the time. So just think about
which
that.
Which is around where the Niners were. Where the year the Niners went to the Super Bowl. And I like what Leroy makes a great point there. And I think that's where the addition of Brian Robinson Jr., I'm really hoping will pay off dividends here, because one of the reasons they struggled in the red zone last year, Spinoni, was because they did not have Christian McCaffrey. He's a massive asset down there. And I do think that Jordan Mason, as ably as he filled in, one of the things that was absent from his game was the ability to be a pass catcher out of the backfield. That is something that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be able to bring to the table for this team. So I want to believe that with Robinson on board now, that does give you a good weapon to use down there in the red zone, finish off these drives so this team does not have to settle for field goals, which is just not an asset this team had last year. So I like what Leroy's coming with there. What about you? What's the question mark or concern you got with this team right now?
It's going to be the concern, and it's probably one of the biggest concerns with people right now doing their fantasy drafts. It's Christian McCaffrey. And how is he going to be able to hold up this season? How is he going to look? By all accounts, you ask Trent Williams, you ask Kyle Shanahan, you ask CMC himself. He feels great, looks the part, looks explosive. That's awesome. You know, I would have liked to see maybe a drive or two in preseason to, you know, calm my nerves as a fan of Christian McCaffrey. I understood why they didn't want to do that, Sam, because the last thing you want heading into the regular season is playing Christian McCaffrey for a series, and then what happens? Oh, he gets hurt.
That's nuclear Armageddon right
exactly.
there.
Exactly, and that's what we don't want. So I understand just from that angle why he didn't do it. That being said, I'm very curious, week one in Seattle, what's the touches going to look like? How's he going to look in the passing game? You got Brian Robinson here now, a guy that could also catch in the backfield if you need him to. How are they going to split up these carries? Is it going to be a back by committee thing? Now, Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media again after the game and talked about Brian Robinson Jr., obviously the big trade that happened on Friday, and said he's going to be our number two back.
We brought him here to be our two back. I've always been a big fan of Brian. Loved him come out of college. He's done really well going against him, and we were pumped that he was available, and we were pumped that we were able to get him.
And you got him, and he's an Alabama guy. This is a guy that was third string when he had Najee Harris and Josh Jacobs. Talk about just the talent of Alabama alone. Some of those teams, like Mac Jones is playing on, just the Devontae Smiths, right? Jerry Jeudy, had Ruggs there for a second. Obviously, I mentioned all the running backs. Unbelievable talent in Bama. And again, college football week one starting this week. Football's in the air, Sammy. I'm so excited. I know you heard it from Leroy there. The guy taped a preseason game 3 to watch it on a Sunday morning. Next level.
I had
right
it taped
there.
On my YouTube TV too. So
can't just go back and just rewind it, right? For YouTube
no,
TV?
No, I mean, YouTube TV, it records all the Niner games for me regardless. So I have it set like automatically to record, then it deletes after a while. But I still went back and watched most of the whole game.
So we're talking about our biggest question marks. And I said Christian McCaffrey. You said the health, which I think it's kind of like it ties in together, right? The health of Christian McCaffrey. A lot of people are saying that. But Christian McCaffrey in general is my question mark, because if you do get 80, 90% of what Christian McCaffrey was of that offensive player of the year, just, you know, a year removed from that, we could be talking about another high scoring red zone offense. I mentioned Lamar Jackson. What makes Lamar Jackson so great in that offense? Obviously, you have Derrick Henry in Baltimore, one of the greatest running backs. Obviously, I think this generation, it's Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey, two greatest running backs of their generation, I would say. And it's, again, I always go back to it, them finish 1-2 in the Heisman voting. It's just insane.
Should have been CMC.
It's just the fact that they translate as the best running backs in college and then in the pros just doesn't happen like that all the time, which is just amazing. So you have Derrick Henry and you have the shiftiness of Lamar Jackson. And I think we still sleep on his throwing abilities and capabilities. So obviously that's Baltimore, number one scoring red zone offense last year, going by touchdowns. And then number two was Buffalo. Josh Allen, James Cook. All right? So you're sensing a theme here. Both of the guys that finished 1-2 in the MVP voting, offenses 1-2 in red zone scoring. That matters. Another high-powered offense. Number three, I'm just going by red zone scoring percentage here, touchdowns only, last season in the NFL. These are the highest scoring red zone offenses per touchdowns, all right? Baltimore, Buffalo, Detroit. Think of the quarterbacks there. Jared Goff had an unbelievable season. Josh Allen, unbelievable. Lamar Jackson, unbelievable. I'm not saying Brock has to be that level all the time, but you sensed a theme there. Brock is at his best when his running back is at his best. And last year, yeah, Jordan Mason was great. It was awesome. He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's just not. In the passing game, it is just a different
non-existent
level. Non-existent. He's not. Yeah. Isaac Garendo, God love him, gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And is it a coincidence that, you know, the practice on last Thursday where Garendo, I guess, fumbled three times, they immediately bring in Brian Robinson the day later? Now, they could have been working on that. Maybe it's just timing is everything. You never know.
No, I think
but it just wasn't a great look for Garendo.
No, it wasn't. And it probably was one of those moments that just kind of encompassed just where the running back depth has been behind McCaffrey in training camp, which is just, it doesn't inspire confidence. It doesn't. And when you're a team that's trying to get better in the red zone, you got to be able to finish drives. It's that simple. And you made a great point. The best teams are the ones that do finish in the red zone. And that's going to be a thing that has to change this year for the 49ers. I do want to believe that the presence of McCaffrey and the presence of Robinson will cure what ails them there. And again, I think it is the pass catching ability right off the bat, I do think, is going to be a massive upgrade there.
Well, that's what I was getting at. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. That voice you hear is that of Sam Lubman, who's filling in for Joe Shasky all week long. Can't wait to talk some ball all week with Sam. And obviously, you can find Sam on Saturdays, 9 to 12, on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, the best Giants talk in the Bay. And we'll touch on some Gigantes later because we had a little reunion of sorts over the weekend with one Willie Adames being back in the Brew Crew territory. And he had some really cool cleats on yesterday in honor of one Bob Uecker, obviously, former voice and a longtime voice on the radio side of the Milwaukee Brewers. Rest in peace, Uke. We miss you. So we'll get into that at some point today, but we're talking Niners. And biggest question mark you have for this team is what, Niner fans, as preseason game three is over. A lot was made about Jake Moody. And if that's your number one, hit us up. If it's something else, 888-957-9570. But getting back to Christian McCaffrey being my, you know, biggest question mark this season, it goes back to the red zone scoring. That's why I think this Brian Robinson Jr. trade was so massive for this team. Just for the mentals, I think, of the fans, knowing you have another reliable back to be behind him. Jordan Mason couldn't rely on the body and the physical. Garendo can't rely on this guy. I mean, he's a rookie. He's already had been on the injury report 6, 7, 8 times. I don't know what it is. It keeps growing and growing and growing. Can he stay healthy? And if he can, if this running back combination can stay healthy in a wide open NFC, and again, I'm excluding the Eagles here. They're a shoo-in. They're going to be the best team in football, I think, this year. They just have so many just dominant players at dominant positions for them. They're going to be just fine. But outside of that, a lot of questions with Detroit. A lot of questions with the Rams. A lot of questions in just the NFC North in general. There's question marks at the Cowboys, right? I don't know. Can Washington do it again? I don't know. I do know this. I trust Kyle Shanahan. I trust Brock Purdy with Kyle Shanahan. And I have a whole hell of a lot of trust with a healthy Christian McCaffrey. And I think if he stays healthy with Brian Robinson, this is a 10-11-12 team winner. Does that sound, I think,
the 10-11 range.
Does that sound crazy?
I think 12 might be getting a little too greedy, but I love that energy. Listen,
schedule. I know we play schedule.
Well, no,
watch.
Again, we play the schedule game. I've said it a couple times now. The fact that a lot of the weakest teams you play on your schedule come at the end of the year, that doesn't really sit well with me. Bears, Panthers, Browns, and what have you. Titans are in that mix as well. Those teams are going to be, simply put, they're going to be better at that point of the season than that. Like, I would have rather.
Maybe.
Like, some of them might not. Again, I'm not saying all of those teams are going to be great at the end of the year. My guess, though, is that, so the schedule, I'm not saying the Niners could be great just because of the schedule. No, if the Niners could simply have to execute, that's what it comes down to. I don't think you could just say, well, the schedule this, the schedule that, therefore the record will be X and Y.
I think it comes down to, when it comes to McCaffrey, let's stay on that for a second. I mean, week one at Seattle is going to tell us a whole heck of a lot. First off, you're going to be on that turf. I wonder if the Niners kind of maybe ease back the workload a little bit for McCaffrey in week one, just because you are going to be on that foot-eating turf up there. Spinelli, like, I'd be kind of curious, how many carries per game do you think McCaffrey should have this year? Because I went and did a little deep dive here. Of all the
homework.
Of all the 20-plus carry games that McCaffrey's had, he didn't have any as a rookie. He had two in 2018. He had six 20-carry games in 2019. The next year, 2020, had one such game, missed all but three games there. 2021 had two such 20-carry games, but he also missed the months of October and December. 22, he had two such games. 2023, he had four such games, plus two more in the playoffs, and then none last year. Is it too easy to draw a line from the more 20-carry games he gets, the worse he is the next year? Yeah, you could very easily do that. I don't think it's that black and white, but there is some there to it. If I'm trying to script out, if I'm Kyle Shanahan and I'm scripting out what I want the Christian McCaffrey workload to look like on a week-to-week basis, I think I'm doing everything in my power, because we know Kyle likes to run the ball 30 times a game. That's his goal. Can I get at least 30 carries from my running backs? Ideally, I would like McCaffrey to be in that 15 to 17, maybe 18 carries a game or touches a game range there. Because then you got Brian Robinson, who could take, you know, 8 to 10 from there. And then you can have Isaac Garendo maybe for a snap or two as well. And again, that's where I think Brian Robinson's value is going to be the greatest, is not so much what he does on the field, but just the fact that he is a guy you can send out onto the field instead of Christian McCaffrey. And whereas with Jordan Mason last year, you felt good about him getting a few yards, but he can only do it with his feet. Brian Robinson Jr., he's not as good as Christian McCaffrey, but he can still do the things that Christian McCaffrey can do, albeit for a fewer carries per game. And that's going to go a long way to, I think, easing the workload, hopefully, off of Christian McCaffrey, because Kyle Shanahan knows that he has that alternate option that he can go to. And that's kind of where I hope that the wear and tear question marks on Christian McCaffrey, that's where I think you can kind of breathe easier a little bit and not question that as much if they kind of go about it in that fashion.
Who is Brian Robinson? You're asking Niner fans. Yeah, I saw him at Bama. I'm not watching Washington football as much, although they were a fun watch last year with Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and co. Well, we have some of our hosts out in 106.7 The Fan, the Grant Paulsons, the JP Finleys of the world, who joined some of our shows last Friday, Steiny and Goo, and then Willard and Dibbs. Let's start with JP Finley, again, 106.7 The Fan host out in Washington, who covers the Commanders. Here's what he had to say about the pros and cons of one B-Rob, as they call him, Brian Robinson Jr.
Honestly, with B-Rob, it's like most of the facets of his game, I would say he's like a B. You know what I mean? There's not necessarily something that he does at an A level. He had two fumbles in a Week 17 game against the Falcons. But then he followed that up with a really good game against the Cowboys in the finale. Then in the wild card game against Tampa, he was pretty ineffective. Now, they were ineffective as a whole running the football, and Tampa has a really good run defense with Vita Vea in the middle, but he was ineffective. But then he followed that up the next week with a really good game against the Lions in that divisional round upset. So there will be some inconsistencies. There will be, I don't know what his workload will be there, right? But, like, if you look at the box score from last year, you would see a 11-carry, 31-yard game followed up by 14 for 68. Like, it's just, it can be hit or miss.
Which is, you know what? Perfect. I don't care. That's great, because I can rely on this guy to carry the football and the wear and tear of a season. That's what I looked at first, Sam, when I looked up Brian Robinson, and I'm just going to do it right now. And I was happy when I saw these things, all right? It was just the amount of games he played, and was he suited up for them? And you go to games played, right? So from when he was a rookie onward, and he was a rookie in 2022, 12 games played. Okay. Was he the number one there? Was he toting the rocks as the number one? I think he was, you know, divvying up some time. Awesome. 2023, 15. Great. Check mark there. 2024 last year. Again, these are playoffs included. 14. That makes me a lot happier knowing I could rely on this guy. If Christian McCaffrey needs a week off or two, depending on, I don't know what happens, here's a rib or something, or just sore, I don't know. But I could rely on this guy going forward. Now, is he going to be Christian McCaffrey level? No, he's not. There's only one Christian McCaffrey. There's only one Derrick Henry. There's only one, you need to insert Hall of Fame talent there. You're not going to replace the production there. What they needed was a guy that could see the hole, take the hole, and go there. Jordan Mason, can I get Jordan Mason-type production from Brian Robinson Jr.?
Plus the patch.
I think it's that much of a hot take.
That's the part I think gets me really excited. Again, you look at B-Rob's tenure with Washington. First 2 years, he was splitting those carries with Antonio Gibson. Last year, he was splitting them a little bit with Austin Eckler.
And those teams stunk those first two years.
Yeah, no, I mean, they weren't good. They were still coming up. They hadn't found their quarterback. And they had Taylor Heinicke, who we saw kicking the ball around on Saturday night as their quarterback at one point. So you share in the backfield with Austin Eckler last year. He also lost a lot of carries to Jaden Daniels last year because Jaden ran for 891 yards last year. So, no, what gets me the most excited, what really alleviates the question marks around the red zone, it is the pass catching, just because we saw how stale this offense got last year when they did not have that weapon. And so that's... If McCaffrey has to see less carries, I think that's a good thing because that means you could still get plus production from Brian Robinson Jr. And who knows? We'll see how this season goes along. Maybe McCaffrey gets stronger as the year goes along. Honestly, there's a chance that McCaffrey is 100% healed. His feet are completely fine. The Achilles tendonitis has gone away. And all this hand-wringing that we're doing over Christian McCaffrey's health is just all a complete fugazi. So... we'll find out week one, but that is until we know better. That's just going to be the question we're going to have is around that health in the red zone.
We're up against it. We got to take a quick break. Come on back. Has your feeling changed on this team now that preseason is over, Niner fans? Has your feeling changed one way or the other? Do you feel better or do you feel worse than you did before the preseason? 888-957-9570. That's my question to you, Niner fans. Plus, on the other side, your chance to win a pair of Giants tickets is also coming up. It's going to be brought to you by Honda of Vallejo.
I had my naps timed out, bro.
Bradley.
He's got T.O.
Tariq Owens scores! Owens! The first touchdown of his professional career. And the uniform is where his dad caught so many.
What's up, Roasters? It's Sam from Laughing Monk Brewing, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with my guys, Bodoni and Shasky. Shasky, stop picking the lobster out of the linguine.
You might be doing that right now. Who knows, Sam? Who knows? I do know that Laughing Monk is awesome, and you should be checking them out every single 49ers home game as well, because that's where Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings will be at.
Every single home game?
Yep.
So if I want to go and hang out with Lowe and Evan, I just got to go down to Laughing Monk and I can do that?
Simple as that, brother.
Wow.
Simple as that.
And I can park there?
I think so.
That's really cool.
I would hope so if you're going to go eat there and hang out with those guys. Yeah. In a parking lot, I believe. I parked there just the other week and went down there and
All right, so boots on the ground action. I love it. Lowe and Evan at Laughing Monk.
Dude, get after it. It's the summer of Lowe, they're calling it, because he's been on KPIX as well during this preseason action with Vern Glenn. I love Vern and Lowe together. They just have great chemistry. Well, that's not bad. Not bad. He's a good dude. I always like Lowe Neal because if you ever worked with the guy, he wants to feed you and he'll always do it on his dime and he doesn't care. He won't have it any other way. That's good people. He'll feed you, do it with a smile on his face. And obviously, I always remember the agony of defeat, him and Dan Dibley.
I was not at the station when that happened. I do remember the horrific look on Dibs's masked up face with the gloves as he went to town massaging those.
And maybe the callers or listeners can. No. Something funny. Like, we have to have a bet on something this season that we have to, like, keep, like, all year long. We have to keep revisiting.
Jake Moody kicks?
No, I thought it'd be funny if one of us gets, like, a perm at the end of the year, because apparently, like, that's the thing everyone's doing. Like, I get, like, the curly hair. Shasky gets the curly hair.
Yeah, Shasky isn't pulling
that off. He's not going to want to do it, though.
Wait, Shasky's not going to pay up on a bet? That's so unlike him.
I'm not going to kick the guy while he's off on a week. All right, he's going to have his whole hiatus. That's fine. He's getting revitalized, revamped. He's up
in the
cabin.
He wouldn't do the same.
Well, no, I'm just saying. We got to have like some sort of a funny bet.
It's not too serious,
but also poke fun at ourselves. That's what we like to do as a society.
Let's do it around Jake Moody kicks.
Okay, what's going to be? Well, I need a bet, though. We need like something that's funny that we could both be in
a part
of.
Let's workshop this throughout the week. That'll be our week-long project here. And so then when he comes back on Monday, we'll present him with our findings, and we'll make some sort of a bet of Jake Moody has X percentage of kicks made. And if he hits the over, you win. If he hits the under, then Shasky wins.
Fair enough. By the way, your chance to win a pair of Giants tickets coming up in this hour, as well as the 8 o'clock hour. But in this hour, you got to be locked in. We've already played the sounder a couple times. I'm not playing it again. I've already played it too many times, Steven. So if you're listening, you're going to hear a sounder. And at that time, you got to be calling number 5 to the contest line to win. And at said time, don't worry, I'll give you the contest line phone number. 888-957-9570 is the number to get involved with the show, though. Either call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And I asked this question before we went to break. Has your feeling changed on this 49ers team now that preseason is over? A lot has taken place. You know, I think the vibes around this team were pretty freaking good at the start of training camp. There was no drama. There was no nothing, right? You locked up your quarterback, Brock Purdy. You locked up George Kittle. You locked up Fred Warner. You're getting Trent Williams back, right, for training camp. Nick Bosa is healthy. He's ready to go. Christian McCaffrey, by all accounts, healthy, ready to go, right? Now, you had to trim some of the fat, and you had to say goodbye to some players that meant something to you. Deebo Samuel is a tough goodbye. But you know what? I don't think he has that many good years left in him, to be honest.
Probably this year, and then...
We'll see, right? And then you got, you know, Dre Greenlaw. Bye. There's a lot there, though, unfortunately. You got the Achilles injury in the Super Bowl. That sucked. Can he have that same explosion? I don't know. He played about a half of football last year, and he already had a sore Achilles. You had to shut him down. Talano Hufanga had an all-pro season.
Gone.
Injury concerns. So there's a lot there, right? How are we feeling now, though? Preseason's over, and if you just look at the makeup of this team, Niner fans, are you feeling better or worse than before the preseason? 888-957-9570. Sam, I just got the same question. You feeling better about the Niners after preseason or worse about them?
Man, honestly, I think my mood of this team kind of went down a little bit.
What?
Since the start of preseason. Well, there's layers to this. Part of it is the feeling around this team coming into the start of training camp felt sky high good. Everybody was healthy. You had all your guys signed, almost all your guys signed. And it just, you had about as clean of an offseason as you could have asked for. Contrast that to what we went through, you know, in the 2024 summer leading into that season, where every week it was contract drama this, contract drama that. The Brandon Ayuk one, we all, for the most part, knew that that was going to be both sides digging in and fighting some trench warfare throughout the summer. It got uglier than I think anyone really wanted it to. But by and large, you knew going into that offseason, like, hey, here we go. This is something that we're going to have to deal with this summer. But then the Trent Williams one happened last year, and that, I feel like, caught a lot of us by surprise. And it was just, there's so many dark clouds. This year, you had none of that, which was a good thing. You felt really good going into the training camp because of that. But then you start practicing, and then this guy's leaving the field, and this guy's leaving the field, and then this guy's leaving the field. And I know the easy, I saw some in the YouTube chat put this earlier, and that yes, every team does deal with injuries.
They do.
And this year especially, maybe I'm noticing it more, maybe not, I don't know. But the amount of times, because I get my Twitter alerts on my phone from Schefter, from Rappaport, from Jordan Schultz. I feel like it's a good trifecta of football insiders nationally to have, to where if you have those three, you're getting most of what's going on.
Still interested to see how it shakes down when Rap Sheet eventually goes from NFL Network and joins ESPN. Are they going to have to duke it out and
cage fight
celebrity deathmatch style between Rap Sheet and Schefter? And then I'm here for it.
And then the winner gets to send out that update.
I think I'm taking Shefty. He's older, but I think he's a little more stout, a little more strong.
I don't know. Rap Sheet's a little shifty there. I wonder how much the paywall for that fight will be.
Remember when Jordan Schultz like confronted him? Like the Starbucks or something.
That was Schultz. I forgot combine. That.
Yeah, that was good times. Good times.
Fun times at Starbucks. Last time, I'm reading Mike Florio's thing on that. The amount of like legalese he put into everything that he said, it was all just Mike Florio painting with his words.
I love Florio.
But for between all those guys, I've been seeing so many teams this year with, you know, insert team here, saw insert player here, carted off the practice field. So it's not just the Niners. A lot of teams are having injury issues. But I, by and large, I don't really care about the other team's injury issues because out here in the Bay Area, we're focused on the Niners. Like, if you know, Niner fans don't care about other teams' injuries because other teams' injuries don't mean anything for this team.
I'll ask, what's the injury that concerns you the most then? Like, why do you feel that way? Because I just listed all the guys that the important guys are healthy, Sam. Brock Purdy, healthy. Christian McCaffrey, by all accounts, healthy. Trent Williams, healthy. Nick Bosa, there's a Q next to his name, but
I think he's going to be fine.
Fred Warner, healthy. Like, so the big boy, George Kittle, healthy. Like, all the big boys that you need to be healthy are healthy, right? Jake Moody.
Well, great.
I know you scoff at that, but like, he did have a high ankle sprain last year.
The important guys are healthy. That is correct. But the important guys aren't enough. It's a team game, not to sound like a generic dork, but you need the guys around you. The Dominic Pooney PCL injury. Like, in order for this team to go anywhere, you need your big boys up front to be able to pave the way.
We got the emergence of Connor Colby, rookie.
Well, that does. I've been all in on Connor Colby all preseason long. 6'6", I love what he 310 says.
310 pounds, seventh rounder, Iowa, George Kittle's boy.
There's just something weird about a left guard or a right guard having the number 75. But no, I like Connor Colby a lot. Numbers he does give anymore. Me. He does give me some confidence if Pooney or Ben Bartsch, one of those two, go down. But let's say if Dominic Pooney's not ready for week one and Ben Bartsch twists an ankle, then you got Connor Colby and Nick Zakel going in there. And if Nick Zakel's in there, yikes. There's the Pooney injury does kind of concern me a little bit. Ben Bartsch has got a questionable next to his name. Jacob Cowing, are we going to see him at all this year? What's going on with Mac Jones?
He had
the knee sprain or whatever the other week. I need him to stay healthy because Carter Bradley and Tanner Mordecai, whichever one of those guys end up making the roster, if the Niners do decide to go with three quarterbacks, which I think they maybe should do, like, yikes if it gets to that point.
Well, if the starting quarterback goes down, I think Mac Jones will be more than capable of maybe or keeping you in a game. See, that's where I go at.
But that's if Mac Jones goes down, it's all kaplooey.
Well, sure, but if you're going to the third-string quarterback, season's over anyway, Sam. So, like, I hear you, but it's a trickle-down effect.
Remember the last time they went to a third-string quarterback?
How many? Okay. Again, that was one of the big, like, the
Carter Bradley is Brock 2.0.
The biggest outliers in the history of outliers.
But still, it can get tenuous very quickly with some of these injuries.
I'd argue there's only a few teams that legitimately feel good about their offensive lines in the NFL. Like the Eagles, maybe the Chiefs had a revamped offense line, but again, like, I'm talking about like the cream of the crop feeling good about their O-lines. And again, if they lose one or two players early on in the season, then you're feeling awful about them, right? Like the Chargers, they went from an A-plus offensive line to maybe a B after Rashawn Slater went down with his torn pec, right? Or whatever it was, his torn soft tissue injury. I apologize, whatever it is. But again, even the best are one injury away from it not going well. Trent Williams was that guy last year, didn't come in with the greatest of shape. The holdout, it wasn't a great time, and it showed. And for his standards, although he probably still was a top 10, if you go to the metrics, left tackle, for his standards, that's not good enough. He's usually top 5, top 2, 1 guy when he is healthy. And I'm expecting that same level of Trent Williams, bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer, greatest left tackle of his generation. But we asked the question, do you feel better or worse than you did about the 49ers before this preseason now that it's over? We're going to go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland because he also has a big question mark that he wants to release about this team. He's a big Niner fan. So we love some Oreo Cookie at about 7:30 in the morning. Nice glass of whole milk on the side. It hits. It just hits different. It does. And when you become a dad, Sam, you'll realize this. The milk tastes a little bit better. The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at midnight taste just a little bit sweeter when you become a father. Can't wait for that to happen with you, with those luscious locks of yours. Oreo Cookie, we'll Oakland, see. What's up, man?
What's up, man? You're right about that. When you become a father, every small little break you can get, it's an adventure, man. You gotta keep those, man. But I do feel better about our team now that I've seen them play. But my biggest question mark to me is our third down defense. Holding teams to 3 points and not touchdowns is really big to me. Getting the other team to punt the ball is very huge as well. And that also reflects on how Kyle is going to attack the opposing defense. We all know he wants to run the ball, but to me, the linebacker crew is the biggest question mark, but we do have a couple of guys that I do like. I like Winters. I like Bethune. And then there's another guy that I can't remember, but these guys
Nick Martin?
Nick Martin, man, thank you. These guys played without their leader. And you put their leader in their Warner, and you got those guys following him. I saw a lot of guys getting to the ball. And I think watching them play and hounding everybody to get to the ball, I think I'm encouraged, and I think our defense is going to be back.
That's Oreo Cookie, and he's back on the roast, 888-957-9570. It's the linebacking core. And, yeah, there's going to be big question marks about that because, you know what, Dre Greenlaw was an all-pro player. And you saw in that Super Bowl when he went down against the Kansas City Chiefs at Allegiant Stadium, the entire air was just released on that Niners defense. It just was. I mean, their leader, it's Fred Warner.
That's a tough one to go through.
He's in tears, man.
Yeah.
And then what happened? As soon as he went down, Travis Kelce, and Oren Burks, who, by the way, and I'm twisting the knife as Niner fans are watching the playoffs last year, what was he doing with the Philadelphia Eagles?
The exact opposite of what he was doing in the Super Bowl.
Making plays left and right for a Vic Fangio defense, right? Former defensive coordinator in his own right for the San Francisco 49ers. But that's going to be up to Robert Saleh.
There's no justice in the world.
Well, Robert Saleh is a big, this is a guy I'm circling to have a big breakout year. Steve Wilks, God love him, didn't work out. Nick Sorensen, God love him, didn't work out.
Nope.
Now you're going back to Robert Saleh. Oh, was it the Thanos meme where, where did your failure bring you?
You could not live with your own failure. Yeah. So where did that bring you? Back to me.
You love that. You love
I'm a big Marvel guy.
Well, at peak then, I'm over all the Marvel stuff now. It's just faded away. Completely downhill.
Hey, Fantastic Four was wildly watchable.
Was it fantastic?
Sure.
You know, they should have just called it number four then.
It was pretty good.
888-957-9570. Robert Saleh is what I'm looking at right now and why I'm actually feeling pretty good about this team.
I agree with that. Saleh has been a great plus.
Seeing him in preseason action again and seeing the juice that he brings just on the entire roster, not just defense, just him being fired up, it makes me feel confident about that defense. Maybe that sounds stupid. It's not quantifiable, but there's something to be said about having a pulse on the sideline. And I heard from Nick Bosa. I heard from Fred Warner. I heard it from all these guys saying, oh, well, you know, we're used to having a guy on the sidelines, him being up in the booth. And then what did they do with Steve Wilks? They kind of pressured him and bullied him to going down to the sideline. Yeah, how'd that work out? Did it do anything? I don't think so.
He was built for this.
I mean, I'm gonna die on this hill. He was not the reason they lost that Super Bowl. The defense showed up. They held Patrick Mahomes, that Kansas City offense, to one touchdown in regulation. It was not his fault. Can he make an extra point? Jake Moody, I know I got your back, but sorry. Can he make an extra point when it matters? There you go. But Robert Saleh, I'm looking at why I'm actually feeling better about this team, Sam, than before the preseason.
What is it about Robert Saleh that has you juiced then?
Just the level and experience that he has had and shown on this team and the familiarity with Kyle Shanahan. And honestly, what he's learned being a head coach in the league. I know we can all scoff at what he did and didn't do as the New York Jets head coach, but you can't tell me he's not a better coordinator or a better coach having gone through that. Going through that dumpster fire with Aaron Rodgers. And let's be honest, he got a raw deal there. And that's just what comes in the territory of the New York Jets. They're one of the worst run franchises in all of American sports, hell, globally. They're god-awful. God bless Aaron Glenn. They're going to be atrocious. You're relying on Justin Fields this year to stay healthy. Who's their backup? Tyrod. Don't call him Tyrod Taylor. Please. It's a dumpster fire there. They are set up to fail out in New York, and that's what Robert Saleh was dealt with. Hell, he lost Aaron Rodgers in his sophomore season.
Four plays in.
It was over. And then last year, he just wasn't very good. The team wasn't very good. The defense showed up there. The defense, by and large, in New York was showing up. Quinnen Williams was showing up. Sauce Gardner was showing up. I think he's going to show up for the 49ers defense. And I'm actually looking for this defense to be ahead of the offense early on in the season, Sam. For an offensive run team, an offensive head coach at Kyle Shanahan, I think it's going to be the defense leading the charge early on here against Sam Darnold week one. I can't wait for this, by the way, because, you know, and Robert Saleh, what was he, gone before? I think Sam Darnold was there. I could be, yeah, right. Correct. He was already in Carolina.
Sam Darnold was the Super Bowl year, so yeah, Saleh was not there.
I think Sam Darnold's going to be seeing ghosts week one. I cannot wait to see Sam Darnold week one because he doesn't have his boy, Kevin O'Connell, Mr. Quarterback Friend out
see
there in Minnesota.
Video came out last week of Darnold in practice just throwing absolute ducks out there.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Got great arm talent. I'm not like Sam Darnold was incredible.
See him throw that ball?
He was an incredible story last year. He was awesome, but when expectations became legit for him later on in the season, the two biggest starts of his career up to that point, he wet the bed against the Lions, right? mm-hmm. and then against the Rams.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, yeah. It was bad. It was his worst performances, and he got paid, but... I'm sorry. I'm still not a full-on believer in Sam.
Well, I've never been a believer. I was watching what he did last year. It was fun to watch. I think there was a period. I remember you and I were doing the show one time. I even threw out his name as an early season MVP candidate. That's how well it was going for Darnold last year. But that was also a product of just you had one of the best offensive lines around you, and he still was a league leader in sacks. So it's just
Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones had a resurgence here.
A great defense helping
out. Kevin O'Connell's
out.
A hell of a coach. That's
exactly.
why I give him the credit.
Darnold is going to come crash. That's why, again, what did I say when the Seahawks signed Sam Darnold this year? Oh, that's two wins for the 49ers right there.
Well, we say that, and Geno Smith beat him. Last year.
No, I would take Geno Smith over Sam Darnold.
But not by that much. I think they're very comparable as quarterbacks.
You're happier that you have Geno Smith as the Raiders quarterback than you would be if it was Sam Darnold.
I mean, you're going up. You're improving from Gardner Minshew, so it's not saying much. By the way, in the next 10 minutes, someone is winning a pair of tickets to the Giants-Orioles on Saturday. It's orange and black versus orange and black on Saturday. Giants v. O's. Someone's winning a pair of tickets in the next 10 minutes.
I believe you get the African-American Heritage jersey for that game,
Ooh.
Too. First 15,000 fans. They were showing it off at the last homestand. It's a pretty cool-looking jersey. So.
I'm going to be honest. My first Mustang League pony, whatever they call it, my pony league, I was playing Mustang baseball. I was like 8 or 9 years old, whatever the age bracket is. I was on the Orioles. That was my team.
Mm.
And it was like the old bird kind of like the real-looking bird. I got to be honest. So unswagalicious.
Oh, I like the cartoon.
I could not stand being. We were called like the Oreos. Everyone like made fun of us and just like
Oreo cookie.
I couldn't have been on like the Giants or the A's or the like the cool uniforms. You guys know what I'm talking about, or like the Rays, who were just like everyone wanted to be on the Tampa Bay Rays, Devil Rays back then. It was just not a very cool uniform. So I always go back to that. I was on whether it was T-ball, Mustang, or Coach Pitch. Like, I had, like, the worst jerseys. I had, like, the late 90s Padres jerseys, the Tony Gwynn ones. Like, the orange and the blue. It was, like, whatever. And then I had the early 2000 Astros ones, which are also, I did not think they were cool. The Craig Biggio ones.
Yeah, the star.
Those were not my favorites. And then I had the Orioles, and it was just straight up not having a good time, Sammy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to go diatribe of why I didn't like my baseball. Also, I got hit all the time. I crowded the plate. I got my on-base percentage. Me, Kevin Youkilis, Mark Canha.
You and half the Giants this year.
Yeah.
You fit right in.
Stinks.
Yeah, no,
Sounds like the 90-mile-an-hour pitches have a better chance of hitting you than you hitting them.
I'll hit them, though. I got on base. You know what? Hey,
I wonder how many times Boston Nahegan's going to hit you.
Boston Nahegan, stay in your lane, by the way, buddy. I'm just going to say, stay in your lane. All right, don't be throwing the balls at me. I guess he's a lefty, so I should be concerned.
He's got a little chin music brush you off the plate.
Everyone's trying
to... Stay off my plate.
Everyone's trying to critique my swing. I'm just... Just wait. Just wait, people. Just wait. And by the way, I'm finding out who my teammates are here at 95.7 The Game. I know Sam's my teammate. I know Steven Rizzotto's. We'll see if he's my teammate. I know Bonte's not my teammate. Shasky, Carter, none of those guys are my teammates because they don't have belief in me. I like to be around people that have belief in me. And right now, it's about two people at the station. That's fine.
There you go.
That's all
you
I
know
need.
Who two people I have belief in this year?
Who?
It's Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall.
Thank you for getting us back on
exactly.
track.
Exactly. We're talking about things that make us feel good or worse. I will say one thing that makes me feel better about this Niners season compared to where I was at the start of training camp. It has been the connection that we're hearing about, that we're seeing develop between Brock and the guy who is a year ago was on a hospital bed, is now going to be the number one receiver. All hopes pinned on you, Ricky Pearsall. I hope you're ready to grow up really fast there, buddy, because, yeah, you are, wide receiver number one now for the foreseeable future. And honestly, I would not be shocked, Spadoni, if he is wide receiver one all year long for this team, even when Brandon Ayuk comes back. Yeah, that's how bullish I'm going to get on Ricky Pearsall right here, only because he might have no choice but to have to kind of rise up to be that guy.
Man, we are coming up on almost a year from Ricky Pearsall, who got shot in the chest in an attempted armed robbery right down the street here. August 31st, that happened. We're about six days away from the year removed, and it's crazy just to think about
really
that.
Quick,
you're right.
Really quick, I want to tease this. We'll get back to it later. It's a big anniversary today. A big 9-year anniversary today.
Really? That is a tease.
We'll get into that later, but I just want to set that up.
Are you married and you didn't tell anyone?
Shh.
Oh, okay.
Well, someone's been married for 9 years.
Sam Lovin's married to the game, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's married to. To the orange and black weekend wrap and Dan Devone. They're married. Speaking of married, I wonder if Larry on a cruise is. Is this Larry, just it all says
just
Larry
on a cruise.
Well, on a cruise. Where are you going? Where are you, Larry? Currently, you're on the Morning Roast.
Oh, maritime law.
Good morning, guys. I'm right here on the Aurora Corral. We're on the Ovation of the Seas on the cruise, and we just pulled into Ensenada in Mexico.
Oh, okay. And,
I listened to the. I've just listened to you guys' show about my Niners, and the bottom line for me is this: if we don't keep Purdy upright and the receivers crap don't turn out, we're going to be a long season, believe me. And I think that getting Robert Saleh back, that was a great deal. That definitely improved the defense. You see it already with the young cornerbacks we got already. And I think we'd be okay. If we stay healthy, I'll see the Niners in the playoffs, maybe deep running in the playoffs with the experience of the coaches. And with that, I'm out. You guys have a great day. And I'll see you when I get back. Bye.
Go enjoy some fish tacos, Larry, for me out there in Ensenada, Mexico. Sam, you ever been to Mexico?
I have left this country on two separate occasions. Both were to go to Vancouver. So no, I have not been to Mexico.
Okay, you've only gone to the Great White North. That
yes,
is,
yes, and
Canada.
I barely
That's
even
it.
The Great White North. That's Vancouver's still basically America.
Okay. There it is. Your San Francisco Giants are taking on the Baltimore Orioles at Oracle Park this Saturday, August 30th at 4:15 p.m. And the first 15,000 guests receive a Black Heritage jersey. Buy your tickets at sfgiants.com. But if you want to win your way into the game, be caller number 5 to the contest line now. 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652. And you'll score two tickets to the game courtesy of Cutwater. And by the way, I do love me some Cutwater. Those things will get on you in a hurry.
I honestly don't think I've ever had one.
They're very good. They have
they are alcoholic.
They
right?
are.
It's like what, alcoholic water?
It's no. They're like almost like cocktails, like mixed. Like you see those a lot in cans. It's like 12 or 11% alcohol. It's like a margarita.
Like those White Claws or the Micheladas or whatever.
It's like they have like different like flavored like margaritas or they have a Moscow Mule. It's all built in there. Very good. They sneak up on you in a hurry.
I know.
If you don't like drinking IPAs, but you want to feel the heaviness of said IPAs, but a little sweeter, have that. It's kind of like a Cutwater is like an IPA meets like a cocktail, if you will. Not the taste-wise, but just if you want to hit
that. It's a nuclear bomb in a can, basically.
Hopefully you're not going to be drinking too many of those on Sundays if you're Niner fans, because if you are, it's one of two things. Either you're so happy they're getting messed up, or you're so depressed
hopefully
you're getting messed up.
Let's do one Cutwater for every touchdown Ricky Pearsall has.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully you're just getting wasted that way. Because that would mean that Ricky's having a great year at the expense of your liver. But we did see it last year, Spadoni, once he did show up. Kind of a slow start at first, but he really started to pick it up at the end of the year. He had that great game against Detroit. Was that his coming out game, his arrival game? Look at me, I'm Ricky Pearsall. If Ricky Pearsall is the far and away number one receiver for this team all year long, if that is the case, I mean, is that a receiver core that is going to be good enough to get you to compete in the NFC West, at least for the first few weeks? Because, again, you do have DeMarcus Robinson coming back after week 3. You're going to have Brandon Ayuk come back at some point. Theoretically, you could say that Juwan Jennings is going to be on the field for week 1. Everyone out down there at Santa Clara is saying that is going to be the case. I need to see it mode right now with Juwan Jennings. Like you talk about, I'm trying to be a positive with this, Ricky, sure. But then I bring up Juwan Jennings. Now I'm feeling negative again because this holdout has kind of irked me a little bit because it's like, I'm all for guys getting their bag. I want athletes to get paid. I want NFL players to get paid because you never know when you're, you know, running a route in week 7 against the Chiefs and all of a sudden your knee gets taken out from you and you're not going to be back until week 7 of the following year. But at the same time, it's just like, Juwan, you're the number 3 receiver, if anything. Like, this has gone on long enough. I get that, you know, it's the Cav. Let's use that as cover. At this point, it's just like, dude, let's just figure this out. If you are actually hurt, then yeah, then I'm going to be the jerk here on this one. But, like, I have a heart. This is my conspiracy. I go conspiracy theory brain here. I truly believe that there is a price point that once that price point is hit, Juwan Jennings' calf is going to suddenly feel a lot better.
Well, he spoke about it, Kyle Shanahan, that is, yesterday. He expects him to be back week 1, that he's been dealing with this calf injury, quote-unquote. Again, is it a hold-in? Is it a calf? Is it a combination of both? We shall see. But I'm with you in that, Juwan, you're not that guy. Like, when we come to these holdouts, there's Micah Parsons level holdout, and then there's a Juwan Jennings level holdout.
No, I think there's Micah Parsons, there's Brandon Ayuk, then there's a large gap, correct. And then there's Juwan Jennings.
Sorry, this is an auditory medium, but people probably didn't.
So right now, he's holding his hand
way
above his head.
Way above my head right now.
And then slightly above my head, and then Juwan Jennings is slightly below my chin.
There you go. And there are levels to these negotiations and holdouts, right?
Negotiation sensation.
And Juwan, again, I think this gets, figured out, because I don't think he's asking for Brandon Ayuk money. He's not asking for Justin Jefferson type money. He's asking for a couple million pay increase and maybe another year tacked on. And you know what? I think he's earned that. I think the Niners realize that. And they're probably just haggling right now about maybe the difference of a million, or maybe it's another year and he just wants that security, which I understand. But you said something about Ricky Pearsall. And, for as much as, getting shot last year and it was horrific, and we kind of all were in agreement, like, this is kind of a redshirt season for this guy. You invested a first round pick in him, and he does need to be the number one. He does. You invested a first round draft pick in a player. They need to be in a number one conversation. That comes with the territory. I don't care if it's a down draft or if it was just for need or for depth. I don't care what it is. You invest. This guy's a first round talent. He needs to prove why he's a first-round talent this year. And I actually feel better after preseason about Ricky Pearsall than I did before, Sam, because of that connection in that game, too, in Allegiant Stadium in Vegas with Ricky Pearsall and Brock Purdy. Like, that was awesome. I saw the first few plays. They were just going left, right, third down conversion.
Very much in sync, knowing what the other's doing.
If it could be third and Pearsall this year, instead of third and Juwan, I'm feeling great about it.
At first and second in Pearsall, but I see where you're getting at.
But
this
also goes back to the passing game and the wide receiver depth being a little thin. And this is why I love the Brian Robinson acquisition here. Maybe because I have Brian Robinson and I was worried about those touches and overextending my hand with Christian McCaffrey this year with the lack of depth behind him and throwing him the ball. Maybe I could do that a little bit more now that Brian Robinson's here. And I could swing out Christian McCaffrey out wide a little bit more. Because say this about Christian McCaffrey. The guys, I believe this. I truly do. He could, if he wanted to be a wide receiver, he could be one of the best slot guys in the NFL if he was a full-time wide receiver. I think that highly of him as a route runner, his cutting ability. Hell, his father, Ed McCaffrey, was one of the best in the business at one point on a Super Bowl winning team out in Denver with John Elway, right? I know he wasn't considered one of the best. The guy was legit in his own right. And hell, Christian McCaffrey is his brother, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver with who? Jaden Daniels. They made it look pretty easy last year, right? With Cliff Kingsbury and co. So I'm very high on Ricky Pearsall right now. And it might, be an overreaction of what I saw in preseason, but you know what? He stayed healthy,
exactly.
Sam. And that was actually prior to him getting shot last year.
And that was not a guarantee for him. Yeah, he was dealing with a hamstring injury, or I believe last year before he had that happen.
And I actually asked Balti the question last week, and Brian Baldinger joining us every single Tuesday at 7:30 going for all 95.7 The Game. NFL Insider breaks down film better than anyone, man, outside of our own Greg Cosell, obviously. So those guys are 1A, 1B, or tied, if you will, when it comes to breaking down film. But Balti coming up at 7:30 tomorrow, every Tuesday going forward. And I asked him last week, I was like, what can we expect from Ricky Pearsall? He's dealt with some injury history in the past. And I was referring to, training camp and the hamstring and, protecting him from himself, because we have Herm Edwards on, his college coach, previously in the past. And then he's like, he got shot last year. I wouldn't really call it. And I was like,
I think I had Risotto put what Baldy said on your board if you want to play it.
Yeah,
about Ricky being the number one and why the Niners drafted
him.
You
have it. Great. I have it right here. Brian Baldinger on last week. Ricky needs to be the number one. Here's how it sounded here on the 95.7 The Game.
Honestly, they need Ricky Pearsall to be a number one, or as close to a one as you can get. I mean, he came out, like, there was three guys that basically came out of similar type. Ladd McConkey, right, when he came out, Pearsall coming out of Florida, Roman Wilson coming out. Like, these guys were route runners. They were tough. They could play outside. They could play inside. They showed versatility. And the only guy that we really saw last year play was McConkey, and he was awesome. They need Pearsall to get close to being like a Ladd McConkey. Their problem right now is they don't really have anybody opposite McConkey with the Chargers. They're trying to find somebody that can balance it up a little bit to take some coverage away. But they need Pearsall to be good. I mean, they trade away Debo. We know we know the injury history of some guys right there. They drafted him in the first round for a reason. to be eventually, because they knew the quarterback contract was coming and they knew they weren't going to be able to pay everybody. And there's going to be a release of a lot of good players and guys that won a lot of games there. So when you draft somebody in the first round like that, like, he's got a hit.
By the way, this is slept on because they end up losing the game and getting crushed. But Ladd McConkey, he did have the most receiving yards by a rookie in a playoff game last year. He had 197. He had 197. That's unreal. Without
a guy opposite of him. And what's great about Ricky this year is he's going to have a guy opposite of him in the form of George Kittle, who, again, hopefully will be going downfield a lot more this year. Last year, there were times where he was not able to go downfield because he needed to stay back and block because Colt McKivitz couldn't do it. You got Luke Farrell and Jake Tongas now. Hopefully they can hold those blocking responsibilities, and that allows George Kittle to kind of run wild downfield, and that hopefully does draw some of the coverage and attention away from Ricky Pearsall. Now, if there's one thing we know Kyle Shanahan can do, is he knows how to send his receivers deep in a fashion that is able to draw coverage one way to open up another guy on the other side of the field. That is going to be, I think, and Ricky is going to be a perfect fit for that. I do think that Ricky could take attention away from George. George could take attention away from Ricky. They're going to have to do that a lot the first 3 weeks because outside of those two, I mean, who's going to be your number two receiver week one going into Seattle right now?
I think Juwan will be there.
I guess it would be Juwan.
I think Juwan will be there.
But here's the thing, Spadoni. We saw it with Ayuk last year, and then now we're getting back into why I feel bad vibes. Like, how it took a minute for Brandon Ayuk to really kind of get it together last year when he first showed up. Like, those first few weeks, he was clearly out of step. Remember, he had the drop touchdown on Monday Night Football against the Jets in that first game, and there is a lot of, I'm not going to draw the line here, but a lot of people were drawing a line from, you know, the absence of training camp to those kind of misplays at the start of the year. Brandon Ayuk is a better receiver than Juwan Jennings, and it still took a minute for Brandon Ayuk to get up to speed. Are we really expecting Juwan Jennings, after missing all of training camp with a calf injury, is he going to really hit the ground? I did quotes there for those listening on the radio. Is he really going to hit the ground running in a way that is going to take that attention away from Ricky and George Kittle? I don't trust
that. Don't worry. We got Sky Moore now, if I'm a Niner fan.
What did Carrington Harrison say last week? Rizzo,
he can't catch.
What was that?
He can't catch.
I'd love that. That's actually a drop already.
That's all right. Just, do some end arounds.
I mean, he does have the speed. I think
what's a wide receiver if you can't really catch, right?
Just stinks.
Just put him into the running back role. Yeah.
I mean, that's like that. Yeah. But I do see Sky Moore kind of being maybe the guy who kind of takes up the jet sweep mantle that Deebo Samuel had last year, at least at first to start the year.
He dropped like his first third down like opportunity in this kid's past game.
We're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, I was looking at, and they invested a pick in this guy, so they're going to be trying to play him and see what they got with him. But, like, just see what you got with Tariq Owens. He has an opportunity, right? Jacob Cowling's going to miss some time. He's the hamstring's there. You invested a fourth-round pick in Jordan Watkins. He has a high ankle sprain. He's not going to be available week one.
Again, we're talking
DeMarcus
about health
Robinson
again.
Suspended. So you're going to have Juwan, I'd think. You're going to have Ricky, Sky Moore, and then Isaiah Hodgins, Junior Burgeon.
Like I'm saying, you're basically
two tight end sets. Luke Farrell, you paid that guy. I would like to see more of that.
You're basically 2.5 pass catchers deep going into these first three games here in Seattle
and
at New Orleans.
And we didn't bring up George Kittle, though, Sam. Like, that is a part of this conversation where
I said pass catchers. Yes. Pass catchers. So that's Ricky, that's George, and then I say the half because I don't know what Juwan Jennings is going to be. So you might, let's say Juwan Jennings, today the calf is fine, the contract's fine, he's ready to go, he's practicing for the next 2 weeks leading into week one, then yeah, maybe now you're three deep at receiver going into that week one matchup in Seattle against the 12s. Even still, that is tenuous at best with that trio. They're good, but like that's a lot to put on those three.
888-957-9570 is the number. Preseason is over, Niner fans. You feeling better or worse than you did at the start of preseason about this 49ers team, as they are less than 2 weeks away now from regular season action. Game one, birds, the Seahawks, is that what I called them last week? Yeah, the Seahawks week one up in Seattle against the 49ers. And we're going to be breaking down that all season long, all the next 2 weeks, really, leading up to that game. We got the 49ers Red and Gold Summit next Thursday, King's Fish House, then at Westfield Valley Fair in Santa Clara. Can't wait for that. I also can't wait to tell people about another opportunity to win a pair of Giants Orioles tickets.
There's more?
There's more.
But wait, there's more.
And you got to be stay tuned in the next hour to get them. And it's going to be happening before 8:15, they tell me, before 8:15. So be locked in the next 20 minutes for your opportunity to win more Giants tickets, a pair of said tickets. But in the meantime, injury report. We're not talking about drama in this 49ers training camp so far. There's not really injuries. But there's going to be some drama tonight. We got the Love Island reunion, baby. Can't freaking wait, Risotto. Peacock, baby. Be there or be square. Nick Alondria, are they still going? What about Brian and Amaya? Amaya Papaya? What's going on with Iris and Pepe? Cheating allegations? What's going on with the Valkyries is can't catch a break when it comes to these injuries. Friday night in Phoenix saw two players leave the game. Carla Leet left with an ankle injury Friday that kept her out of last night's win over the Wings. More concerning is the knee injury to Tiffany Hayes that she suffered on Friday night. It is unclear when or if both players will return to the court. Valkyries have this next week off, which could not have come at a better time. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up, the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Spadoni, it's Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky. Halfway home here on a Monday in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
Fun times at Starbucks.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.